Hello, and welcome to GoGo Training Radio, found exclusively on gogotraining.com. My name is Mike Simpson of Custom Training Institute, and in this show, we're going to discuss bindings in COCO. I've been in the industry for over 20 years, and I've been working with various types of computing programming and computing technologies for a bunch of that time. I've been working with Macintosh technology since they came out, and I've been working with Mac OS X and COCO for over 10 years. To look more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo training profile. If you've got any questions that you'd like to ask, please use the question and comment box below. Okay, let's get started. COCO bindings are a great way to give your end users more functionality and more flexibility in your application while simultaneously reducing the amount of code that you have to write. That's a win-win situation for everybody. Now, historically, COCO developers have had to keep data objects and view objects in sync manually. So if you wanted to use a table view, you'd have to implement data source methods. Each method would have to implement the table view's request and make sure that the data ended up in the right place. But that's actually a fairly good deal. By just writing a few methods, you would give life to very, very rich and very full featured tables. COCO would do a lot of the hard work. But if you have multiple controls that depended upon each other, there's more work involved. So if a drop-down changes, then you'd have to make sure that the contents of the table might have to get updated. So making sure that everything flowed smoothly and everything kept in sync could be a real bother. COCO bindings, then, would allow you to define relationships among the objects and then have COCO figure out what to do with those relationships at runtime, which means that you have to write less code, which means faster development and more functionality, and you get all that for free. You can mix and match COCO bindings with data source and delegate methods. So if your target users have anything later than even Panther, which is Mac OS X 10.4, and everybody's got at least Panther installed, there are very few reasons to not use bindings. So these COCO bindings are a collection of technologies that you can use in your applications to fully implement the model and view and controller paradigm. The models encapsulate the application data, the views display and edit that data, and the controllers mediate between the two. Our COCO bindings then reduce the code dependencies among models, views, and controllers. The bindings support multiple ways of viewing your data, and the bindings automatically synchronize the views when the models change. The bindings provide extensible controllers, they provide protocols for models and views to adopt, and the bindings provide additions to classes in Foundation and in the application kit. You can eliminate a lot of that gory glue code that you usually have to write with controls by using the bindings that are available in Interface Builder to connect your controllers with models and with views. So, in a very simple functional sense, those COCO bindings technology provides a means of keeping your models and your view values synchronized without you having to write the glue code. It allows you to establish an automatically mediated connection between a view and a piece of data, binding the two together in such a way that a change in one gets reflected in the other. This bindings technology therefore offers a way to increase the functionality and the consistency of your application, while at the same time decreasing the amount of code you've got to write and maintain. It takes care of a lot of the aspects of user interface maintenance for you by allowing you to offload that work of that custom glue code onto reusable pre-built controllers. So what that means is that you can build polished, easy-to-use applications that leverage the relationships among objects, provide tables that are quickly sortable, and include intelligent selection management. You're probably figuring you've got to rewrite your whole application to do this, but typically you don't need to rewrite your application in order to implement COCO bindings. For example, it's very likely that user preferences can be managed by COCO bindings without affecting the rest of your application. And you'll find it easier to make use of COCO bindings if your application adopts a model view controller design pattern. So let's say you have the value binding of a text field that could be bound to the temperature attribute of your particular model object. More typically, a binding might specify that a controller presents a model object, and another binding specifies that the value of the text field is tied to the temperature property of an object. COCO bindings rely upon other technologies, key value coding, KVC, and key value observing, KVO, to communicate the changes between the objects. It relies on key value binding, KVB, to bind a value that's in one object to a property in another object. These COCO bindings also use a couple of protocols, the NSEditor protocol and the NSEditor registration protocol, that help to ensure that any pending edits are either discarded or committed before the user interface elements get disposed of. These bindings architecture therefore extends a traditional COCO model view controller configuration where there's a single custom-built controller that manages the entire user interface. The bindings provide a set of reusable controller classes that inherit from an abstract class, and that abstract superclass, as you might guess, is called NSController. In a bindings-based application, there may be several different controllers. You might have your own controller, NSWindowController, that manages the document user interface, and you might have other controllers subclassing NSController and managing different parts of the user interface. You might also create your own subclasses of the standard application kit controller classes. In particular, you might even want to subclass NSArrayController so you can customize how you have different sorts and different filters. You might sort by date, you might sort by name, and be able to customize all that sort of stuff. A lot of applications provide a preferences window that allows a user to customize an application settings. The NSUserDefaults controller provides a layer on top of the NSUserDefaults object that allows you to bind attributes of the user interface items to the corresponding key that occurs in an application's user defaults. That user defaults controller, therefore, is a concrete subclass of NSController. It's not an abstract class. And that implements this bindings-compatible interface to NSUserDefaults. Any properties of an instance of NSUserDefaults controller get bound to the user interface items to access and to modify the values that are stored using NSUserDefaults. The defaults controller typically gets used when implementing your application's preferences window interface, or where you can bind a user interface item directly to a default value. Defaults remains the primary programmatic interface to your application's default values for the rest of your application. So, by default, the controller will immediately apply any changes that get made to its properties. You may configure NSUserDefaults controller so that these changes don't get applied until it receives the apply changes message, which allows the preferences dialog to support that apply button that you see in many applications. NSUserDefaults controller also supports reverting to the last applied set of changes using the revert method. NSUserDefaults controller also allows you to provide a dictionary of factory defaults. And that dictionary of factory defaults can be used to reset the user configurable values for your application. Usually, that's done in response to a user clicking on a revert to factory defaults button. Now, these bindings are wonderful, but applications that use COCO bindings can provide a bit of a challenge when attempting to troubleshoot problems. So, let me close with two quick examples. First, suppose that you were to change the value of an item in a user interface programmatically by sending a setStringValue message to an NSText field. You'd find that the model isn't updated with the new value. Now, you might be surprised by that, but that's actually the correct behavior when you use COCO bindings. You're bypassing the key value observing behavior on which COCO bindings relies. So as a result, the user interface doesn't get updated. That's point one. Point two, suppose you bind to the wrong key path. Suppose you instead you bind to a key path of name, N-A-M-E-D, instead of just N-A-M-E. You'll get a debug message that contains a string of the form value for undefined key. This class is not the key value coding compliant for named. Now, that message will appear in the run log or it'll appear in the console, so you'll spot it there. But it's easy to miss that debug message if you don't know what to look for. So keep those in mind when you're trying to troubleshoot COCO bindings issues. I hope that you've enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box. If you're interested in hearing my other shows, just search the GoGo Training Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there's a show that you'd like for me to do, you can let me know by utilizing that question and comment box. Thank you again for your time today. And remember to tune into GoGo Training Radio. It's found exclusively on gogotraining.com.